It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Each of you are treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Live with intention. You were made for this moment. And thank you to this team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, Jen, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. It is indeed a blessing. And happy Thursday to you, producer Steve.
Well, thank you. Happy Thursday back at you. You know, I shouldn't mention this anymore because people are getting tired of hearing it. Each day's open for the show is different. And the Thursday one, those comments that we pulled for you were long before we ever knew the word COVID. And I just can't believe how something that was said, I don't know how long in advance before COVID virus came along, that we, you know, you said those words.
Well, and that really precipitated, Steve, from I read the legislation that was being pushed down at the Colorado State Legislature. And as a number of parents, a number of moms were very concerned about this legislation that was going through regarding forced vaccination of kids in schools. And so I read the legislation, and I was just, I about fell off my chair when I saw that. And when it just was like a lightning bolt when I realized that exactly what we said, that this legislation would give an unelected bureaucrat the power to force what is injected into our body. Never did we dream that it was going to morph into where we are right now. But the point on that, Steve, is I always say that these radical activists that have taken over the Democrat Party have been playing long ball. They've really been playing long ball for sure since the 60s. Because when I thought I'm gonna pull that piece of legislation so I can understand it, and it's Article 5 or 25. I've got to look that up. But anyway, it's regarding public health here in Colorado. That piece of legislation has had additional pieces put to it. It's 1,000 pages long. When we go back to what the founders say, that legislation should not be so confusing and so long that everyday people cannot understand it, this thing is way out of its lane. And we look at Washington, D.C., what's going on in Congress with, as you now call it, the Build Back Bankrupt bill, thousands of pages long. There's no way our representatives can even read it. It's irresponsible to be passing this kind of legislation. And this gives power to bureaucrats, to interested parties, to politicians. And that is why we are in the situation that we are in right now, producer Steve.
Well, I didn't mean for, you know, chase you down a rabbit hole here. If you didn't intend on going there, I just get struck every Thursday, every time I hear those words and think about where we've ended up. And you talk about bureaucrats. Let's mention again the king of bureaucrats, Dr. quote-unquote Fauci, and what we talked about yesterday with his potential pension when he does retire.
Right. Well, and that was $350,000.
Yes.
With cost of living increases.
Oh, yes.
And we figured it out. We used a return on investment of 7%, which may have been a little high. It may to get that rate of return may involve people taking more risk in their portfolios. But we felt that was a good number. What that would mean is everyday people would have to accumulate $5 million with a rate of return of 7% to generate that kind of income. And here is a man who has not created, well, maybe I should say created things, but he's created things under the auspice of public health. But yet he's using that quote-unquote creation, I'm thinking vaccines and all of his policies, to make himself and his cronies wealthy. And that's not the way it's supposed to be, Steve.
Well, we always encourage people to do their own research and don't take everything we say here verbatim. But I did run across some interesting info lately, just in the last week or so, about going back to the 80s when the AIDS virus first showed up. He was a big player in that, but not all of it was good.
Right. We're going to have Dr. James Lyons Weiler on next week. So hold that question, Steve, and we will talk to him about that because I think he can speak to that better than I can.
All right.
Okay.
Moving forward.
Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. I so greatly appreciate you. So thank you. I think I'm going to hold the quote for the day until we talk with Susan Kochevar at the bottom of the hour. It's quite long. And it's a Milton Friedman quote, and I just want to get her comments on that. So I'm going to hold that because we have so much to talk about. Big show. In the second segment, we'll be talking with Pam Long, and very important op-ed that she's written. We've rolled it out this last weekend, and it's on my website, and it's the best and the worst of Colorado politics in 2021. And Steve, it is very well researched. She has links to all of her research there. And she really pulls no punches on this. And I really appreciate her stepping into this, leaning into this, to really address what happened in Colorado politics last year. And there's so much chaos, so much confusion. And this piece brings a lot of clarity to that. And that's one of those things that we do is we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And so it's an excellent piece, Steve.
I can't wait to hear you guys take it apart here on the air, because when the newsletter came out and, you know, the banner said the best and worst in Colorado politics, my snarky brain went into the best. I didn't think there was anything like that.
So, yes. So there is some optimistic things that happened as well. So be sure and check that out and comment on it as well, because I know that we like to see what you have to say about that. Today, though, there's some other things to talk about before we get to our great guest. We'll talk with Karen Levine at the bottom of the hour as well. It's January 6th, and January 6th is Epiphany, which in the Christian calendar, this is basically our January 6th, I should say, it's Epiphany. It's a Christian feast day celebrating the revelation of God incarnate as Jesus Christ. In Western Christianity, the feast commemorates the visit of the three wise men who followed an angel to Bethlehem where Jesus was born. The day has also been referred to as Three Kings Day and Little Christmas by both Irish and Amish Christians. So I kind of knew this, but I'd kind of forgotten this, and was recently reminded that the time that I think America now calls Christmas is actually Advent. That is the time coming up to the birth of Jesus Christ, the expectation of Christ. Christmas is actually December 25th, and then the 12 days of Christmas go to January 6th. And I needed reminders to understand that's how that is. And I shouldn't say January 6th. It's Epiphany. It's the 12 days after Christmas. So today is Epiphany. I need to have an Epiphany, Steve, apparently.
Well, I think I know where you're going with this in terms of the other thing that we're going to tie to January 6th.
Right. And clearly that's going on in my brain. January 6th, a year ago, was when Trump had given his speech, the big rally in Washington, D.C., and the narrative of an insurrection at the Capitol has been very prevalent. But it's not been true, honest reporting on all this. And I've just been reflecting back on January 6th of last year. And Trump basically, and we've done, I think we did a podcast with John Eastman, Trump's attorney. We had John Eastman on. Is Trump was basically asking for Mike Pence to just delay certifying the Electoral College votes until state legislatures could get back into session and assess whether or not they had certified their election, their electoral votes, without all the information, just a little bit more information as we were starting to see this information come out about election irregularities. Now, let's think about the time frame on this. Is the election was the first part of November. So it takes some time to start to unravel irregularities. So we're only then 2 months into it, and there's want to certify the Electoral College votes, and the state legislatures, who are really in charge of their elections, had not even gone into session. And so just a tap on the brakes, a pause would be a good thing. That's all that Trump was really asking and during that big rally. People that were there, I know a number of people that were there at the rally, they said it was remarkable in a good sense. There were people from all over America, all different races and ethnicities and genders and old and young and immigrants. And they said it was amazing. It was a rally that people were, it was peaceful. They were singing. And that was, they say, at least a half million people, if not a million people. If you were really going to have an insurrection on the Capitol and you had a million people there, it wouldn't be what we saw. And that was, what, just a couple hundred people that were really misbehaving. And there's questions on who were the instigators on that as well, Steve.
Well, as we were saying in the pre-call that we do every morning, I vividly remember sitting here watching the monitor and down what they call that piece of ground around the Washington Monument that faces the White House. That's where Trump was speaking, and the camera kept panning the crowd. And there was no distinct color, besides there were lots of red, white, and blue, obviously, but in terms of people's attire, there wasn't a distinct color. Now, as soon as Trump wound up, somebody who was calling the shots was very eager to get the TV feed from the U.S. Capitol, the east side of the Capitol. And it switched over, and I was staring at the screen for about 30 seconds. And the first thing I was struck by was the number of people dressed in all black. You know, gone was the mosaic of the crowd. And all these people dressed in black, and the way they were moving, and they said right away you knew something was up, something was going on, and it wasn't good.
Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine who was an eyewitness there said that those that were dressed in black, they had milk, which I guess can thwart tear gas. They had gas masks. They had ropes for climbing. I mean, come on, my friends. Since when did you ever see a bunch of people go to a Trump rally with that kind of equipment? I mean, just a little common sense says something odd is going on. But the several points that I wanted to make was, first of all, America is still, I think, believed to be the most powerful country in the world. Nancy Pelosi is in charge of Capitol Hill security. You're telling me that the most powerful country in the world cannot keep a couple hundred people out of the Capitol chambers if they really wanted to? I mean, this just doesn't match up to me, Steve.
Well, you mentioned, if this is the case, do we have the strength to stand up against a real adversary if we can't, keep house?
Right. If we can't keep people from the Midwest out of the Capitol, how do we think we can trust these representatives such as Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer to protect everyday Americans from enemies that might want to attack us from without, like China and Russia? If we can't even keep Joe Schmo from the Midwest out of the Capitol, really, how do we think that's going to happen? So, again, that is something that doesn't make sense, because we've seen if Nancy Pelosi wants to keep people out of the Capitol, she knows how to do it. When you saw all of those fences that were erected after January 6th around the Capitol, and the Capitol is the people's house. A couple of other things I just wanted to mention. First of all, the coverage has not been, it's been dishonest because it hasn't told the whole story. There are people that are still in jail without any due process a year later, and they've not been charged with insurrection. So that's another big question mark. And Steve, I remember clearly, I saw one of those early videos on television, And it was a shot from inside the Capitol looking at people that were storming the door. And I clearly remember, this is just so odd, that one of the guys there that was working to storm the door there clearly looked to me like he was communicating with someone on the other side of the door, which, as I've thought about it over this last year, means that there was some, it seems like there was some clear collaboration going on at that time. And so we're seeing more and more sunshine come up on all these things. We're seeing the veil come off on so many of these issues. But again, we look at this Capitol Hill committee that Pelosi's put together to look into the insurrection, and the fact that she got Jim Jordan, Republican from Indiana, a congressman, and Jim Banks, Republican from Indiana, or excuse me, Jim Jordan's from Ohio and Jim Banks is from Indiana, got them kicked off. If you're really searching for truth, you're not kicking the truth seekers off of the committee, Steve.
You're not, and I'm glad you made that point. I would just say, for anybody listening right now, there's going to be a lot of baloney and malarkey put out there today regarding this event a year ago, but just take it with a grain of salt and think about where it's coming from. The writing on the wall is getting clearer and clearer as what might happen at the on the midterm elections. This is their last gasp. They've got to make something, they've got to make a mountain out of this molehill.
Well, and that's why I think it's important that we really reflect on the big picture on this. I know we need to get to break, but there's just two other things that I wanted to mention. As you know, we always look at these issues. We're searching for truth and clarity and looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And I always say it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or the latest silent thief, which is government-induced inflation. But where I want to talk about policy, and that is, it's remarkable to me of what we've seen regarding Australia, is wanting to keep Novak Djokovic out, who has won the Australian Open. He's a tennis player. Because they cannot, they're not honoring his medical exemption from the country's coronavirus vaccination rules. So here's a guy who's clearly in great shape. He has won the Australian Open. Let's see, what was it? Nine times, I think it is. And they're taking away via policy his opportunity for his livelihood there. And this is what we have to be so concerned about, Steve. And then just one other thing, the Chicago Teachers Union has voted to go to online classes again. And we've seen what that has done to our kids and to teachers. And again, we are seeing, as the veil's coming off, these powerful teachers unions, they're not about our kids' education. They're about power and coercion. And again, I'm grateful that this veil is coming off and we're getting to see these things. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, I have good, great sponsors that bring this show to you. One of them is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations, and that is Westminster, Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. And, Steve, they're keeping the line on their $10 hamburger special, and they have all kinds of different hamburgers that you can choose from. So be sure and check that out. We've got those on my website. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Pam Long has written a very, very important piece, and we'll talk with her about that.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim at kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. And if you'd like to become a advertising partner with us, yesterday we had Jen Hewlin on the show, and she is former owner of Water's Edge Winery. They've closed that, and she's moved out of one of the onerous counties that we have here in the metro area, but she is going to be working with us on that. I'm excited about that. So if you're interested in getting more information about becoming a partner of the Kim Munson Show, just go on my website and go to the contact tab and let us know, and I'll get Jen and you connected. Pam Long on the line with me. She is a West Point grad. She is a former captain in the Medical Service Corps in the Army. Did I get that right, Pam Long?
You got it right. Happy New Year, Kim, in Colorado.
Boy, I tell you what, this piece that you have written is so well researched. In fact, as we were putting it together for the newsletter, we decided that we needed to actually do a table of contents to make it really easy for people to see what was going on. But talk to us about this. What are the kind of the first things that you'd like to say to our listeners about this, Pam Long?
Well, I'd say if you want to restore freedom in 2022, I mean, Douglas County showed us the way. They showed us that we have to stop looking back at where the media wants us, and we have to really lean local. I mean, it doesn't matter what party you're in or non-party you're in. Just lean into local, your Board of Health, your Board of Education, your local sheriff. In a simple start, stop, continue. Start your own Board of Health at the county level that has a balanced approach to the virus. Stop voting for people who support mandates and lockdowns, and continue enjoying freedom that supports the, you know, a balanced approach to the virus, but also mental health with our students and local businesses. And that's exactly what Douglas County is, this beacon of freedom, showing people that it is possible and life can go on.
Well, I have found, Pam, when I'm getting together with friends, I always say, let's meet in Douglas County. And almost everybody says that sounds good. I mean, they've been willing to drive to get to Douglas County because you don't have all of these mandates. I was up in Arapahoe County yesterday and went into a library. And before I had even, you know, kind of stepped foot, one of the people working there was like, oh, we have a mask. We have a mask. And I thought, this is why I don't really like to go to Arapahoe County anymore.
Well, and let's compare the local control of Douglas County promoting freedom versus these very controlling, unelected, unhinged people in other counties. And a couple of examples, over in Jefferson County Public Health, their director, Comstock, has given the public all sorts of ammunition to have her either to resign or to be removed. And your county commissioners have the power to do that. And if you want to engage with that, there's a great group of like 5,000 people, Jeffco Kids First, where, I mean, they are calling her out for the unhinged things she says, like not wearing masks is equivalent to bringing guns to school, and the unvaccinated should be banned from public places, and kids should not have extracurricular activities, and people in Jeffco should go shop outside of their own county because she doesn't like that there's, you know, the mask compliance. I mean, she is actively working against her own county. I'd give a runner-up to that, an example in Larimer County Public Health. I mean, they were caught by the sheriff, Justin Smith, colluding, conspiring, meeting in secret to insulate themselves from the very public they claim to represent. I mean, it's all public record. It's in my op-ed. I mean, I'm telling you, if it's happening in these counties, it's happening everywhere. So that's why I'm saying lean local. If we want to control the narrative, if we want to control policy, we have to demand in-person meetings with the public health officials. We have to demand evidence-based health policy, not a hamster study with a mask-like partition, which was the basis for the Colorado mask mandate. We have to demand accountability, responsiveness, and transparency.
Absolutely. Pam Long, I want to go back to what you have said. The worst public health leader you said was Don Comstock of Jefferson County. And as I was reading this, my friends, just take a look at the, think about this. Now, this is a bureaucrat, and these bureaucracies, this administrative state we've seen is out of control. But I about fell off my chair, Pam, when I read this. And this is from your piece. You said, constituents of Jefferson County learned from CORA requests that Don Comstock, as a member of the Board of Health, now just listen to this, led the hiring committee for a director of Jefferson County Public Health, designed the interview questions, changed the requirements so that she would be qualified. They received 37 applications, and then she hired herself as the director in February 2021. What could be wrong with this picture, Pam Long?
Well, that's where we really need accountability. So her background, just so you know, is a professor, academia, is a sports medicine. And this person is not a physician. She is not a, she doesn't have the background to be making these decisions. She's making these decisions politically. This is to her preferences. And she's actually even sending complaints against doctors for writing exemptions for vaccines and masks. I mean, she's challenging licensed physicians at this point. I mean, she is ready to go. We just need people to engage and take action and demand. I mean, I have told people, don't be afraid to say to your county commissioners, if she does not resign or you do not remove her, we will launch a recall. Like, put the pressure on.
Okay, with that, Pam, when we looked at this piece, I wanted to get you on to introduce this. There's much more that we need to talk about. So you're going to be our guest, our featured guest next Friday, I believe it is. But just one other thing I want to mention about this Don Comstock. And, okay, and you also said we need to lean in local. I always now want to encourage people to remember that the most local of government is yourself and your family. That's where it starts. And when we have politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties that are assaulting the sovereignty of yourself and your families, we need to really be pushing to make sure that we have that local control, which is ourselves and our families, in place. But you mentioned I'm doing these CORA requests, all of this information, and you've got this all linked in this piece, takes an enormous amount of time, and not everybody can do that. And so the other thing is to seek out trusted sources. And I really think you as listeners realize that we, our team here at the Kim Munson Show, really search for truth and clarity. If we don't get it right, we will correct it. Now, clearly, we have opinions about it. We pull no bones about that. But this piece that you have done, Pam, is very well researched. You and I have now known each other for several years now, and I know that you're always searching for truth and clarity as well. So I would highly recommend that people check this out, and I look forward to getting to delve deeper into this, and that'll be, I think it's next Friday that you'll be on the show, correct?
That's right. And I just want to add that there's a lot of people sick right now, and before you can govern yourself, you have to be well. And I did include some, you know, links people might not know about early treatment and home treatment from some very reputable groups. And those are also in there.
Yes. And very important as well. And that was just a real aha for me just recently, is that each of us, yes, we had Dee Dee Chisholm on with Bella Wellness, Health and Wellness, and vitamin D's. And I'm not a doctor, but there are things that we can do to be advocates for ourselves, to take care of ourselves. And I appreciate that's in there as well. So, Pam Long, we have a date next Friday.
Let's do it, Kim. See you then.
Okay, thanks so much. And the show comes to you because of great sponsors. And a longtime friend of mine, great sponsor of both the shows, is Karen Levine, award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. We had her on Tuesday to talk about these devastating fires up in Boulder County. And Karen, you were under the weather on Tuesday morning. Hopefully you're feeling better.
Well, the course of COVID continues, but I'm much better.
Yay. That's great. That's great. Quickly, any new things that we need to share with our listeners regarding these devastating fires?
No, I think there's lots and lots of great resources out there. People just need to tap into them. The realtor associations have always been super active in their communities. And again, our Colorado Realtor Foundation has a separate fund set up for fire relief victims, as does our National Association of Realtors. Our churches have come together in the Boulder Valley and are providing lots of great services. And our dear friend Annie did not lose her home, but it was damaged quite significantly. And I know they're getting in, you know, the restoration experts in to start cleaning that up. So
she was close.
Yeah. Oh, she was in the heart of Superior, and the fact her house is still standing surprises me.
Wow. With that, though, Karen, we have a lot of focus on that, but there are families also that are still seeking home ownership. I know this is going to make this tough here, but there's still those opportunities, and people need to talk to you if that's what they want to do, because this is beyond anything that's ever happened. You need a professional like you to help navigate through this crazy environment that's happening right now.
Right. When you look at a housing stock that was already under some significant pressure, and now we just lost 900 units, housing is going to be a challenge. And I just really, really encourage your listeners to seek out a professional. Certainly, I am available to answer any questions. I am here to be their trusted advisor and to help them navigate their options. And so we want them to know that resource is available to them. My team member, Amanda DeVito-Parl, and a friend of hers, partner of hers, have put together a housing exchange site, Facebook group, and that's another great resource for people who are just trying to figure out what their options are as far as housing, both temporarily and, not permanent, but on the foreseeable, future for the next year or two.
Well, Karen, you and your team, the DeVito Dream Team, you guys are all so creative. So thanks so much. How can people reach you?
They can reach me at 303-877-7516.
That's 303-877-7516 for Karen Levine. Karen, we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great, Kim.
Okay, we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, I need to mention another great partner of the show, and that's Kirsch Insurance Group. They are specialists in the Medicare arena. Now there's this open enrollment period that if you have an Advantage plan, you can make a change to that. All this government stuff is clear as mud to me. That's why you need somebody like Kirsch Insurance Group to help you navigate through this. There's no charge. And so reach out to them. Their website is iKirsch, that's iKirsch.com, iKirsch.com. We'll be right back with entrepreneur and owner of 88 Drive-In Theater, Susan Kochevar.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And another one of our great partners is Susan Kochevar. She is an entrepreneur, owner of 88 Drive-In Theater. And I always love to hear what she has to say about things. And we want to talk about regulation. Susan Kochevar, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kim. Good morning.
it's great to have you. And I was thinking about you being on the show. Who did I want to have as our quote? And I thought, oh, Milton Friedman. Of course, then I got to this one. I thought, this is kind of has something to do with regulation. But Milton Friedman was born in 1912, died in 2006. He was an American economist and statistician who received the 1976 Nobel Memorial Prize in Economic Studies for his research on consumption analysis, monetary history and theory, and the complexity of stabilization policy. And this is so important, and I just want people to maybe search for this today and think about it. But when a man spends his own money to buy something for himself, he is very careful about how much he spends and how he spends it. When a man spends his own money to buy something for someone else, he's still very careful about how much he spends, but somewhat less about what he spends it on. But Susan, here's the real crux of it. When a man spends someone else's money to buy something for himself, he's very careful about what he buys, but doesn't care at all about how much he spends. And when a man spends someone else's money on someone else, he doesn't care how much he spends or what he spends it on. And that's government for you. What do you think of that, Susan Kochevar?
I think that's absolutely true. And it certainly does apply to regulations. For instance, you'll have a regulation coming out of a health department that says all businesses must have a three-hole sink. And they'll go through and try to make everybody comply and try to make all of the new businesses purchase three-hole sinks. Well, that is actually spending the entrepreneur's money, isn't it? And they don't care how much it costs and how actually effective that is. We look at the three-hole sinks, and I'm not really sure that makes people healthier or dishes cleaner. Washing dishes in soap and water and dipping them in maybe even a bleach solution and just even letting them air dry is perfectly good. How many of us in our homes dip our dishes? We don't. And yet we're safe and we still take food into the office and have people over and we just don't have massive illness. So some of these regulations are overkill. Perhaps you had somebody in the stainless steel industry lobbying for, to use more for three-hole sinks.
So, okay, now explain, what is a three-hole sink exactly, Susan Kochevar?
It's a sink that a business or restaurant has to have, and the first sink is for washing the dish. The second sink is for dipping it in a solution, and the third one is for rinsing it. Now,
okay.
Most places today use, especially if you're a kitchen where you have dishes that go to the customer and back, use a commercial dishwasher. And I would argue most businesses, even without that regulation, would want that dishwasher because it's too expensive to employ people.
Okay, true. Now, let's just think, we need to unpack this a bit because people look at regulation, they look at licenses, and they think that that gives them some safety. Clearly, that's not the case. And so a three-hole sink, government comes in and it has this regulation that all businesses have to have this. And if you are inspected and don't have it, what happens?
Well, they'll shut you down until you get one installed.
Okay. Now, are these three-hole sinks more
afforded or not?
Okay. And are these three-hole sinks more expensive? Obviously, to put them in, it's going to cost plumbing. You have to buy it. So, yes, it's going to be cost to a business to do it, right?
Yes.
The other thing about it that is such a challenge with regulators is there's no way they can regulate everybody. So they can actually pick and choose which businesses they're going to go into to force to do this and have a blind eye to other ones. And that inherently is unfair.
Absolutely is. And costs small businesses a fortune. And it's a barrier to entry for people who want to open a business because all of those regulations really cause a business to most often buy lots of very expensive equipment and you take on a big debt, which makes it easy to topple that business if they have a small problem. So it's not good for the stability of businesses either. And I would challenge the health departments to prove that their recommendations and regulations actually make things or food or plates or dishes safer.
Well, and so so let's talk about the free market answer to this, though. I think that our people take some comfort in saying, oh, this the regulators are out there to make sure that when I go out to eat, that the place that I'm going out to eat to has a clean kitchen and make sure that, you know, that all is taken care of. We know that's not the case. But what's the free market answer to this?
Well, the free market answer is if a customer got sick at my business, I would lose the customer and probably some of their friends, first and foremost. And certainly if there was any sort of major harm, the business would be sued, which is the remedy. We already have a remedy for these sort of things without regulations. And one of the favorite terms of the regulators is the term best practices. These are the best practices. Well, when you have a term like that, what it does is stops all further investigation into better practices, and it stops innovation. And so that term really bothers me. Now, we can see this regulation also impacting the food that we're eating. For instance, a lot of businesses don't like to deal with health department inspectors. And if you buy prepackaged food, you get out of that. So now we're all eating a bunch of processed prepackaged food, which we know isn't necessarily good for us. And it's been said that that's part of the American issue with weight gain, right? So these things are not making us safer.
Okay. And taking away choices. Now, before we go to break, when I was on city council, Susan, and that was from 2012 to 2016, the building codes were being updated. And so I talked to one of the building code officials and said, now, what is this exactly? I wanted to understand it more. And one of them was, there was this big question on whether to force all new home construction to have sprinklers in every room in case of fire. And it's much more expensive to make that happen. But there was this push to make that a regulation. But it was increasing the cost of the home. And I really felt that homeowners should have be the decision maker on that instead of government. But then come to find out, these building codes, there's big meetings every few years where they update the building codes. And guess what? The sprinkler manufacturers were the ones that were out there lobbying to put this regulation in place. So what a great business. If you can force government or have government force people to have your product, you don't really have to compete for that. So what's your thoughts on that?
I agree. And it develops, it encourages probably or incentivizes corruption, doesn't it, in the form of those sort of lobbies. There was a soccer stadium that somebody wanted to build in the city of Broomfield probably 10 years ago. And it was in a great big domed building, which had gigantic barn doors, I think on three sides. The fire department came in and wanted a system for fire suppression that cost several million dollars. And the soccer stadium couldn't be built. And it was a stadium probably isn't the right word. Facility is probably a better word because it wasn't quite that big. But all the kids who wanted to play soccer lost out because, you know, the regulation was so massive and expensive that the thing couldn't be built. And you cannot wrap people in bubble. We can't, you know, you just lose so much with the expense of that regulation. It's unnecessary. Well,
and let's go to break, Susan. But I want to talk about this comfort that so many people take regarding regulations, maybe within their own company, but may want to get or they like it for their own company, but want to get rid of it for other companies. And so we'll talk about that when we come back. Susan Cochevar is on the line. She's entrepreneur and owner of 88 Drive-In Theater. Another great sponsor of the show is Castlegate Knife and Tool. And they are located, a family-owned business right here in Sedalia, Colorado. great little business, was down there and got some Christmas gifts and did receive some great Christmas gifts from Castlegate Knife and Tool as well. So whether or not you're shopping for a chef or for a collector or a sportsman, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you. If you're looking for a wedding gift, a birthday gift, be sure and check them out. Their website is castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Susan Kochevar.
Three Points Financial is a fiduciary financial planning company focused on helping individuals and families. Mary Alpers and Steve Kruse at Three Points Financial specialize in investment strategies, tax planning and preparation, and retirement planning with no product sales or commissions. Tax laws have changed and will continue to change. Inflation is real. Three Points Financial helps you maneuver through these changes to achieve your financial success. For clarity and a solid, relevant financial and investment plan, while working with a company that puts your interests at the forefront, schedule a no-obligation initial consultation at threepointsfinancial.com. That's threepointsfinancial.com.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. On the line with me is a show sponsor, entrepreneur, and owner of 88 Drive-In Theater, and that is Susan Kochevar. And Susan, regulations, that is something that you have such an understanding of, the costs and the stifling of creativity and innovation of businesses, because you are an owner of a small business. But it's interesting. I had a conversation with somebody that's in the personal care industry, which is licensed. And we were talking about regulations, like, oh, yes, we need to get rid of regulations. And I said, well, really? I mean, does your license, do people come to you because of your license? She said, no. And I said, well, you should probably get rid of licensing in your particular industry. And she said, no, she said, because I had to spend a lot of money and go to a lot of school, a lot of classes to get that license. And it's not fair for somebody to come in and not have to spend that money and do all of that and start a business. What would be your response to that, Susan Kochevar?
Well, first of all, she can't see how much all of that licensure in all of the other fields for all of the other professionals is costing her. Business owners have to recoup all of their costs, and that's one of the costs that they have to recoup is all that schooling and that
well,
license.
But that's her argument. That she said, I had to do that. I don't want people to come in to compete that didn't have to do that.
Right, yeah, and that costs everybody money because, of course, she has to recoup all the money from that schooling and everything through the business that she then goes on to open. So it costs all of us a lot of money. The second thing is, just because you had to do it and it's unfair doesn't mean you shouldn't correct that issue, right?
Right.
I find that to be a really peculiar attitude. You know, I had to do it, so you do too.
But it's from human nature. It's very common. I've been surprised about it. So I think we have to work on our answer to that. And is I go to this particular person for the services that she provides because she's really good at it. It's not because she has a license. It's because she's really good at it. And I think that's what we need to understand is if somebody comes in and has not gone through the proper, well, I don't want to say proper, has not made sure that they've gotten themselves trained so that they're good at their profession, I might go there once, but I'm not going to go back. And so the free market is what will address that versus all this licensure and rules and regulations.
Right. And we have certainly seen through all of this licensure and regulations how we are sort of in a regulatory capture situation in our healthcare, haven't we? And all of the edicts that have come down that have destroyed our businesses and, you know, caused suicides and just tragic life events cause elderly people to die in nursing homes. Regulations are very dangerous, and it depends on, they're very dangerous. I'll just stop there. The next thing that we see coming is banking regulations. There are, you know, certainly the chair of the FDIC just resigned, Jenna Williams, I think is her name, and she said that the FDIC is undergoing a hostile takeover by Democrats, and I would submit those are people that want to institute massive regulations on banks and steal our wealth. We look at all the regulations and things that have come out of the IRS, and now they're wanting to get into our bank accounts and look to see what you're spending your money on, if it's $600 or more. Is this really making us safer, all these regulations? Regulations always move more and more toward more and more control, always. And I really would wish people would think deeply about what it is that makes them say, oh, but we need some regulations. Which ones and who decides? These are some, you know, serious issues.
Well, and what you're alluding to was something was in one of these pieces of legislation that once light was shown on that, they walked that back. But that doesn't mean that it's not going to come back. It's kind of like a card game. They've shown the card, and when people saw what it was, they said, this is not what we want, so they pulled it back. But that's why these elections are so important, is that we have to elect representatives, not politicians, representatives that represent us, the people. And we have abdicated our responsibility because we have trusted that the people that run for office have our best interests in mind. And Susan, you had run for State House a couple of different times, and so you had had a front row seat to this whole political arena. What's your comments on that?
Well, the biggest issue that I see is the people that run for office, certainly in the Republican Party, most of them don't understand the principles of liberty. And they don't, they run laws that create regulations that match the way they think things should be or the things that they would like controlled, rather than running legislation which promotes freedom for everyone so everyone can choose for themselves. That is the biggest issue that I see.
And of course, over on the Democrat side, the Democrat Party has been taken over by these radical activists that want to totally control our lives. But there, as you're alluding to, Republicans that also want to control our lives, they just think that they have a better idea on how to do that. And I think the American people are waking up. And we're seeing people become more and more active, but they're uncomfortable with something that's going on out there, but they can't get their brains around the issues. And Susan, that's why we do this show. That's why we have these conversations, to help people understand what is going on so that they can then, again, on the local level, really take action to become engaged in what's happening. Because people have said, I've heard people say many times, I'm not into politics. Well, they found out politics is into them. We've got just a couple of minutes on this. How would you like to wrap all this up, Susan?
I would just encourage people to think deeply about that regulation. And when they hear themselves thinking, oh, but we need some regulations, ask yourself, what is it you're afraid of? When you go into that restaurant, there's not a regulator looking over that person's shoulder. It's still on that business owner to make sure their business is clean and that their food is safe. And when I want to know sort of some best practices, if you will, even though I hate that term, I can go to my associations, and other business owners share their ideas and things that have worked and things that don't work. And I can look there for, you know, ways to handle food or better service or whatever it is I'm wanting to do. And I think associations are a better way for people in business to get information than regulators.
And again, the free market will answer to bad service, a bad product. Ultimately, they will. And so that's important. Our quote for the end of the show, I wanted to allow just a little bit of time for this because I thought you would really appreciate this. And this is Milton Friedman again. and he said this: a minimum wage law is in reality a law that makes it illegal for an employer to hire a person with limited skills. You've got a minute on that. What do you think about that?
Oh, I think that's absolutely true. And most of the people I hire are young kids who are just learning how to, you know, manage a job, get to work every day on time, and establish that reputation for coming in and learning new skills. It's so important for them. And when the minimum wage goes way up, you certainly want to hire somebody who already has those skills so that you, you know, you have to get your money's worth out of those skills. Otherwise, you can't stay in business.
Well, and that's what I've called is these forced minimum wage laws, which take away the ability of an employer and a employee to come to an agreement on what they're going to pay for those skills, is really the Youth Unemployment Act. And it makes it very difficult for our youth to get that first job so that they can understand business and then go on to thrive and prosper. If they do well, they're going to move up that ladder. But that's the thing with a radical progressive Democrats, is they don't believe in the creativity and innovation of the individual. Susan Kochevar, it is always great to have you on the show. I so greatly appreciate it. And again, we need to understand that these rules and regulations don't really protect us, but they actually give power to bureaucrats. We've saw it. They came in and they said, if you don't do what we say, we're going to take your license. And that's a very dangerous spot to be in America today. Susan Kochevar, thank you so much.
Thanks, Kim.
And our quote again for the end of the day was from Milton Friedman. A minimum wage law is in reality a law that makes it illegal for an employer to hire a person with limited skills. So my friends, today be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically. Strive for high ideals and, like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you and God bless America.